How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Figure Four Daily. It is August 20th, 2013, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We are joined today by Gregory Shane Helms, formerly the Hurricane, number of other gimmicks as well. And Shane, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
Where to begin with all of these? Not too bad. First off, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I got a little banged up at the Gathering last weekend, so I've been I took this weekend off, and I'm doing okay. You know, I still got the robo foot, so it's gonna hurt anyway. But I'm doing all right.
Now let's talk about the Gathering here very quickly. So a lot of things went down. Necro Butcher destroyed his leg, apparently in a chair spot, and allegedly some fan in the crowd at some point died. Did you hear that?
I don't think they died at the wrestling show. I think
no, not at the show, but sometime at the Gathering.
Yeah. I think somebody died somewhere doing something. I was maybe before I got there, and so I never heard. I mean, of course, I didn't like talk to any cops or anything, so I never heard anything. So I didn't know if it was a tall tale, if it was just something that was being spread around. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I don't know for sure. But
now what happened with Necro?
I didn't see it, because he was like the matchup before us, and there was some kind of like little Hall of Fame ceremony in between our matches. So I was kind of back there, you know, getting ready for my match here, just kind of warming up and stuff. So I didn't see anything. I just saw him, you know, strap him to the back of a damn golf cart. They had him on there.
Oh God!
You know, this Gathering is out in the middle of nowhere. I don't know if you've ever been to it or you know much of it, but it's in the middle of like the opposite of civilization.
So, wilderness.
You know, they have all these golf carts that could take you people to. You know, anytime you got something like that, they got like medical stations set up, but you know, nothing in walking distance. And obviously, he couldn't walk anyway. But they put him on a hardboard stretcher type scenario thing, and they put him to the back of a golf cart. And that's the first time I saw it because I didn't know anything had even happened. And I heard that maybe his like one of the bones was sticking out of his leg, and then I heard that it wasn't. That it was, I don't know. Either way, it sounded pretty bad, though.
Yeah.
I hope he's doing well, you know, because you know you hate to see that happen, no matter who it is.
Now, many years ago, I had Violent J on the show, and he was awesome, and just a great interview. Obviously, a wrestling fan, and you're referring to the Gathering of the Juggalos, which they do every year, and tell everybody about this Gathering. I mean, we've mentioned it's been in the wilderness, but I guess talk a little bit about who contacts you, what does it entail, the wrestling portion of this, and I mean, is this something that you look forward to each year, or is it like one and done?
Well, this is the first time I've ever done it, and I've wanted to do it for a long time, but obviously, you know, I was with Vince for so long, I couldn't. And then I've been scheduled to do it like the last 3 years, but then I had, you know, the motorcycle accident in 2011, so that cut me off. No pun intended. And then last year I was booked for it, and myself and Big Daddy V, Viscera, we got stranded in Nova Scotia because I was doing a loop right before the Gathering, and I got stranded up there and missed it last year. So this year I finally got to do it. It just centers around, you know, ICP have always been huge wrestling fans, and they've had their little JCW, the Juggalo Championship Wrestling. That's been around for, like, I don't know, like 12 years or something. They've been doing this for a long time. Not necessarily the Gathering that long. I don't know how long the Gathering's been going on, but I know they've had their little wrestling promotion for like quite some time, you know. And I believe like Vampiro was the champion when they were doing the WCW stint, and that was 2000, you know. So
cause, yeah,
you know, as three count, we wrestled them there. You know, that's where I first met them. And I mean, they're just like good guys. They're just crazy. I mean, you know, just wild. The Gathering, I told somebody it was like Woodstock, but not as calm. And if you can imagine that, but there's a lot of people out in the wilderness, and they're just partying, but everybody's happy. I didn't see like no fights, you know, no people going crazy or anything like that. Just a bunch of people out there, just, you know, there's concerts going on here and there and all kind of shenanigans, but everybody for the most part seemed happy as hell. So
now when he was on the show, he gave this big speech about being a star. What being a star entailed, and is really interesting, actually. And I guess the question for you is, when I listen to the radio, I never hear, you know, the top 40, hey, here's a song by Insane Clown Posse. You know, it's like, it's 2013. You don't really hear a lot about the Insane Clown Posse unless you're a pretty hardcore juggalo. But these Juggalos are hardcore. Just from being there, I mean, I don't even know if you could answer this question, but what do they do to be so beloved and have such hardcore fans?
They just don't compromise. You know, they are who they are, and, you know, I mean, they stay true. They stay true to that, and I think a lot of people like that about them. I think that's what, you know, is probably the most interesting thing about them, and that, you know, touching on with what you said, you don't get to hear them on the radio any, and they still have this massive following when there's all these other people you hear on the radio. And I bet some of those stars would love to have the ICP record sales that they've had on some of their albums, you know. I don't know. You know, it's really a cult thing, a little click thing. But their fans, you know, their fans are loyal, and they're loyal to a fault, you know. So it's pretty interesting, you know. I mean, there's people walking around in that clown makeup all day long. You know, you'll see, like, some chick, you know, just hot as hell. I mean, but when she got some kind of makeup all over her face. I mean, and you could tell she's pretty anyway, even without the makeup and, like, no clothes. And, you know, of course, that don't bother me at all. But it's just wild. It's just a huge party. It ain't something you could do every week. I know that. I mean, people would, you know, be zombies. But it's just wild. I don't know. I like to go again and get the full experience because this year I only got the Sunday show.
Sure.
I had other shows on leading into that. So I only got to do the Sunday. I like to go and try to take it all in if I could and see if I could survive. It's pretty wild, though.
Now, does Violent J call you personally, or does he have a guy?
Well, I've known those guys for a while, but there's another guy that works with them that I've known for a long time, too. And he was the one that I was talking to him about another project, you know, entirely unrelated. And that was right after the WWE, after I left WWE. And that's kind of how I got back in contact with him, because I ran into him and what did I see, man? It was like the Wrestle Reunion Show, whatever that thing was called, in
yep.
L.A.
Yep.
Maybe 2011, and that's where we kind of reconnected. Because they want us to do three count. You know, that's the ICP wants us to go and wrestle man as three count, and I'm just thinking that, like, the fans might actually kill us. So I was kind of like, why don't y'all just make me be Hurricane and kind of do my own thing?
Sure.
I think it'll be like there's that boy band singing and dancing, like the Juggalos might actually come in and, like, rip our arms and legs off or something.
It'd be a great heel tag team going against those clowns.
It'd be something, man. We had a great time, you know, working them in WCW. I mean, they were, you know, obviously unorthodox, you know, and stuff like that. I remember Violent J one time shot me into the ropes. He bent over, but I mean, as he shot me into the ropes, he goes power bomb me, and he bends over, and the dude was like 300 pounds. I was like, what? So I just had to kick him in his head, you know, and like try to get something a little bit more manageable to have them during that particular spot. But
I was just going to ask you about that. Maybe I just have like selective memory or something like that, but I seem to recall, like, I don't remember him being 300 pounds in WCW, but he's certainly at least 300 pounds today. Like, it seems to me that he's expanded greatly in the last decade. I guess maybe he was this big in WCW.
I don't know. I mean, maybe he wasn't 300 pounds, but I know at Sugar Shane, I was a little bit more leaner.
Sure.
You know, I know by comparison, no matter what, he outweighed me by a significant amount, and it was going to be no power bump. That's all I knew.
He just, yeah, I watched one of their movies, Big Money, I can't remember if it was Rustlers or Hustlers, but anyway.
Big Money Hustler was the one.
Yeah, they did two of them. One was the Western. But anyway, he was gigantic in that movie, and I guess they've got the new show now, the Mystery Science Theater knockoff, and he looked even bigger in that show. So he's he's a healthy eater, I guess, these days.
He's a big boy.
Now you talked about the Robofoot, yep. As you called it. I guess give us. I had a buddy who was in an accident as well, and his foot was never the same. I mean, what have they told you? It's been a few years now. What are you looking at as far as the prognosis for your foot?
I mean, it's just kind of a go and see what happens type thing.
Yeah.
The doctor doesn't really have somebody. I mean, my foot surgery was pretty unique. It was so unique that they showed it in. I guess doctors get together every year and they have these conventions and they all talk about like the crazy surgeries or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So my doctor actually used my foot surgery as his example of, you know, basically you guys ain't going to believe this shit. That's kind of like what goes on there. Like, y'all ain't going to believe what I had to do.
Wow.
I just got, you know, it's just so much metal in there. And I mean, I almost lost it completely. So going from not, you know, almost not having a foot to not sure if I'd be able to walk again, I guess I'm very fortunate that I'm able to, you know, do all those things and still able to wrestle. It just, you know, it's just, I have to deal with pain. And that's the exhausting part. You know, it's just like being in pain, like all day, every day, you know. The second I get up in the morning, the very first step, like that can almost bring me down. And that's every single morning of my life. And it will probably be like that for the remainder of my life. And that's just a sucky part, you know. But you know, it's kind of the penance that I got to pay, and I have to deal with it. So you know, I try not to think about it too much, but that it's just, it can get exhausting sometimes, just, you know, just mentally, and you just want to sit on the couch or sit in the bed all day long, because you know, if you get up, it hurts. So that's the worst part.
Now, you were very popular. So if you went to an indie show, you know, you just being the Hurricane, I mean, you could get away with not doing a lot because people just, they came to see the Hurricane. You know what I mean? Right. How much are you able to do as compared to before the accident? Can you do like 90% of the stuff without significant pain, or is it like maybe 50%? Where would you put yourself?
No, I can still do. I've never had anybody that said they could tell I was hurt since I've been back. You know, I go out there and I kind of suck it up and I do my thing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Yoda. You know, if you've seen the Star Wars where he's all bent over and hunched over.
Sure.
Then when it's time to fight, he loses his mind and he goes back to being hunched over. That's kind of how I am, you know. As soon as the match is over and I'm in the back, you know, it's like, I got to get off my feet. I need to sit down and y'all need to leave me alone. But out there, I'm pretty good. You know, I'm still, you know, very active. I probably work harder than a lot of the other veterans say I should. But I still have that passion in me to go out there. And I can't just stand on the apron. And I don't want to be out there and I ain't going to name names. I know you've seen some, you know, whatever they call former TV stars or indie shows. And they go out there and they don't do shit. I can't be one of those guys. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't. If it gets to that point for me, and then I'll just stop doing it, you know. I want to get out there and I want to have matches. And I know, like, this, you know, if I got other guys, you know, these young guys that, you know, they're looking forward to working me and wrestling and stuff. If I get there and I don't want to do anything, man, if I was in their shoes, I'd be extremely disappointed. So I'm very cognizant of that too. I'm just trying, you know, I just want to have good matches and stuff like that still. I don't know, a little hard-headed. I mean, maybe it's pride, maybe it's ego, but either way, that's how it is for me.
Now, when you, I mean, I presume you had to have gotten clearance to get back in the ring. I mean, did they tell you, is it a situation where when you work as hard as you work, you're doing more damage to your foot? Or is your foot just like, it is what it is, and it's just going to hurt no matter what? So if you can stand the pain, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's going to hurt even if I'm sitting at home. I mean, if I'm sitting at home not doing shit, it's going to hurt. So you know, you might as well go out there and have some fun with stuff, you know. That's kind of how I look at it.
But it's not like you're doing worse damage by working on it.
No, I don't think so. I mean, until I do something like this weekend where, you know, I kind of sprained it a little bit, but, you know, that's just going to happen in this business no matter what. You know, that wasn't something that I did specifically. That's just the nature of our industry. You know, you're going to have little bumps and sprains and stuff like that. So just how it is. Actually, I was getting thrown over the top rope. It was a battle royal. You know, I've been over the top rope 1,000 times in my life, and I never even thought about it. But this was actually the first time I was getting thrown over the top rope since I've been back, and I thought about it about mid-flight. And maybe it was that thought that even made it happen, you know. But I was sitting there with Kevin Steen, and I'm going over the top rope, and about midway through the air, I go, I haven't done this since I've been back. And I just came crashing down on that bad foot.
Yeah.
The thing was, Zach Gowan's right out there beside me. And so now in my mind, I can't sell it because this guy's out here with one leg being tough as hell. So I'm going to have to get my ass up because at least I still got two.
That's right.
And we got to help each other up the ring of the ramp. We look like the guys in the three-legged race at the damn Olympics. But
a little late once you're in mid-flight. It's a little late.
Yeah. It was too late to correct it at that point. But there you go.
Now, how many shows on average are you doing on a typical month?
If I wanted to, I could probably do, 10 shows a month, I guess. Well, I mean, it's usually just Friday and Saturday or the weekends for the indie guys. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, 8 in a 4-weekend month. If there's one of those months that's at 5, maybe you got 12. But I really try to take like every fourth week off or something like that. I like to be home with my fiance now and my kids and stuff like that. I like to be home. I was on the road for a long, long time, and the only time I wasn't on the road was if I was hurt. So I kind of enjoy my home life right now. I got to be careful, though, because I enjoy it so much. It does make me not want to go out, but at the same time, I still like what I do. And it's kind of a balancing act. I'm sure there's people out there that have way worse problems than that. So.
Now, if you were given the opportunity to go back to WWE at this stage in your life, I mean, is it something that you would consider, or as you noted, I mean, you enjoy the home life, you have enough dates that, you're making money doing something you love, and at the same time, you don't have to be on the road 4 days a week. So there is that balance, but obviously the older you get, the less likely they're going to call to bring you back on a regular schedule. I mean, if they called tomorrow, what would you say?
I wouldn't mind doing something, but it would have to be limited. There wouldn't even be an option for me at this point to go back full time. If I was out there, I mean, I'm not sure exactly how they're doing now, but I know when I was running and when I popped and I was on everything, you're doing 4 and 5 nights a week. Like, that's just not even possible for me right now. And I don't think that would be possible for me at any point. Maybe I could do it a couple weeks in a row, but I wouldn't need time off. I just don't think my foot would allow it. I don't think my brain would allow it. I think, I've kind of poured my tools of duty as far as that goes. But something to come in, do some little bit, work with some of the newer guys that, they don't have the experience of working with somebody that, already has an established character and, doesn't really have to work to get the reaction because it's kind of built in. That would be fun, stuff like that. They just came to Raleigh a couple, maybe 2 months ago, and I went up there and talked to everybody, and everybody was real receptive, and that's what everybody said. I mean, the guys and the boys in the locker room to just the production people was like, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? You never know. I have a lot of people that still like me there and stuff like that, but as far as being in that ring 250 days a year, that's no longer an option for me. That ship's kind of sailed.
Now, you mentioned kids. I believe you've got a son who's just over a year old now. And how has that changed your life?
That's been the most amazing thing ever to me. And I know all parents say that. And I used to be the guy. And I was like, man, I ain't going to have no kids. I don't need no kids. And everybody would tell me it would change my life. And I was like, I don't want my life to change. My life's awesome. I don't need no changes. But once it happens, man, it's the greatest thing ever. And I sometimes think, it's like, man, maybe I should have had him earlier, just so I could have done this before. But I don't know if I could have left, how I feel about my son and wanting to be here with him all the time. I don't know if I could have left like some of the other guys used to.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I could have done it. I think that would have broken me down. And I think maybe that's mentally why a lot of guys do break down. I think, that connection is pretty strong to your kids. And if it's damaged, I think mentally that does wear guys down, and then they start picking up bad habits and this, that, and the other. I don't think I could have done it. I might have snapped or something a little bit earlier.
Now, the obvious question to a wrestler father: let's say your son decides he wants to get into the business. Is this something you'd be supportive of, or would you kind of be like, well, what other things do you like?
I think, just because of the damage to the brain and stuff like that, I think there's a part of me that, kind of doesn't want him to do it. But I still love it so much that it would be his choice. If it made him happy and he wanted to do it, I would try to do my best to, really explain to him the negatives of what goes on. I would shelter him from the honesty. There's a lot of bad stuff out there. But as in all forms of entertainment, there's a lot of negativity to it, So I would just try to really be honest with him, and so he knows going into that with an open mind what could happen. But if it's what he wanted, then, I don't think I'd have a choice. I want my kid to, I want him to be happy and do what he loves, Because everybody and their mama told me no and that I wouldn't make it, not necessarily my parents, but, I heard no 1,000 times. So if I would have listened to other people, I never would have been as successful as I was. So I don't want to be out there telling other people no either.
We actually have a lot of questions for you here from Twitter, so I'm going to get into some of these. This person wants to know your the best comic book movie that's been out this summer.
This summer?
Or have there been any?
I'm trying to think which ones were out this summer. Probably Wolverine, I guess. I mean, that's the one that's recently on my mind. I don't know.
How about over the last...
I'd have to know. I go to so many, I forget what I've even seen.
How about over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, what have been the best adaptations of a comic book and what have just been the worst?
I think The Avengers was awesome. I think that's kind of universally accepted as one of the best comic book movies of all time. They just really did that one pretty good. And the reason, I'll tell you this, I don't know if you listen to my podcast, but I've talked about this before. The reason is because finally you could get heat on the Hulk. Why the Incredible Hulk movie sucked is because he's such a monster that nobody buys the heat. Like, whenever something's going on with him, you never buy it. But in The Avengers, they got the heat on everybody else, and then the Hulk made the big save. And that's why it was, like, the best Hulk movie, actually, as opposed to just the best Avengers movie. But there's been some bad ones. I don't know. I think the Green Lantern was pretty disappointing. I mean, everybody that knows me knows I like the Green Lantern, and it was kind of cool seeing him on the big screen, but that movie sucked.
Now, when you,
I hurt my feelings a little bit.
You took it as a personal affront to the movie sucked?
Yeah, I said, what are you guys thinking? The guy that got me hot.
Now, when you watch movies, are you cursed with always having to watch a movie with the pro wrestling mentality in the back of your head? Like, well, that psychology here is all messed up. This makes no sense.
A little bit. You know, that happened during Superman. I remember, like, in the beginning of Superman, Jor-El was beating Zod's ass, and I'm going, well, this is like terrible booking, because Zod's going to be in the main event against Superman, but here he is getting jobbed out in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Ridiculous.
Like, Superman's that. Huh?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, and it was like, so the genetically engineered scientist is beating the piss out of the genetically engineered warrior. It just, like, made zero sense whatsoever. And, you know, so I guess that does come into my head a little bit without me, you know, realizing that's actually what's happening, but... It probably does. You're right.
Now, do you have to deal with friends who are like, can't you just enjoy the movie?
No, I do. I can enjoy the movie, but if it's stupid, it's stupid.
Sure.
I didn't make the movie. You know, stupid is and stupid does, and I got to call it the way I see it. If I love it, I'll put it over as high as I can, but if I don't like it, I'm that guy too, you know. And I'm not a critic, you know, but if I pay money, I can have an opinion. You know, I can't say that, you know. Doesn't mean that's right, but it's mine.
Sure. This person wants to know, any chances of joining Matt Hardy in Ring of Honor?
I don't know. Is Matt even still there? I don't know if he's still there.
He's there.
I haven't seen him on the stuff in a while.
Actually, after the Scum deal, I don't know.
They came to North Carolina. I went to show it day. I mean, like I said, everywhere I go to, people are really receptive to me, and there's a lot of interest in me. I think I can make any locker room better, you know. Not without trying to sound like, you know, too braggadocious or anything, but I mean, I think you have to have that confidence to be successful in the business. I can make any locker room better, you know, I still believe that, so who knows? It's not something, I don't actively go after anything, you know. I got a couple of agents that kind of line stuff up for me, and I just deal with them, and luckily it's all fell into place. The business is kind of, you know, really buzzing right now, and I can't really put a finger on why that is, but, you know, I think... there's a lot of talent on the indies, so there's a lot of people out there putting on shows, and you know it's a decent little time. You know, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff going on.
There's a lot of very talented guys on, like you said, on the indie scene. Even, you know, there's a lot of guys that were on the indie scene that are now in WWE and in prominent positions. Daniel Bryan won the title and then lost it, and you got the Shield there, and you still got guys like AJ Styles and such in TNA. A lot of good talent, I guess. From your perspective right now, I mean, if you had the opportunity to go anywhere and do anything, who are some of the guys that you really would love to have a chance to work with right now?
I mean, well, right now, I mean, Daniel Bryan's a guy, so that would be, you know, it'd be difficult with my character. I'd want to work him as Gregory Helms. I wouldn't want to work him as the Hurricane. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, I think in the business, you always want to work with the top guys, and right now, he's the man, so... You know, me and Punk got to roll around once at the Survivor Series, but that's the only time we ever got to lock horns. I think we could have some good stuff. But other than that, man, like, you know, I mean, as I was saying earlier, I go in the indies, and there's just a ton of talented guys out there. And, I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to pull some of the names out, you know, out of thin air right now. But, I mean, some of the guys, you know, like El Generico, you know, I tried to get him hired years ago.
Yeah.
This was a guy I wanted in WWE to, when I was the Cruiserweight Champion, to come in and, you know, help that division out. That Pac guy, and I don't know what his name is, an NXT man, but he's, you know, he's really a crazy athletic. You know, there's a bunch of guys.
Adrian Neville.
Interesting time. Yeah, Neville.
Yeah.
You know, the Shield guys are all good. Funny story about Roman Reigns. I was going, man, that guy looks really familiar. Like, I couldn't even figure out that it was Rosie's brother. And he looks almost just, it looks identical to him in the face. You know,
yeah.
The bodies are very different. But it took me like 2 or 3 weeks before I realized who that guy was. And I was like, yeah, I get hit in my head entirely too much right now. But let me see. I don't know, man. There's so many talented guys out there. I just had a match, a tag team match in West Virginia. My team with a guy named CCW. We went against Big Viscera and another cat, and it was a really fun match. King Shane Williams out of Tennessee I thought was really good. I was just in the ring with him recently. There's a lot of guys in the Carolinas that are really good. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Chiva Kid and Trevor Lee, but those two guys are down here tearing it up. And a little bit on the smaller side as far as that goes, but, you know, luckily that's not as big of a deal now as it used to be. Eric Royal's another guy that's really good. Rick Converse, Cyrus. There's a ton of good guys out there.
This person wants to know about the mini feud with The Rock. You've probably been asked about it a million times. He says you were both brilliant doing that. Was that kind of a thing that one day they put you and Rock together for a segment, and when it was over, they were like, God damn, that was great. Let's throw this in. Did it kind of grow organically from there, or was it originally designed to be a longer-term thing?
No, it was organic. It was only going to be that one time. It was in Toronto when I first did the backstage skit with him. And that was kind of going to be it, you know, and it led to it. There was going to be a battle royal later that night. And, you know, but even before that, you know, when we was doing that skit backstage and it got so well received and we were done, we did it live and we came back and all the boys are laughing. You can see all the production people laughing. And even as we go up to Gorilla for this battle royal, Vince is over there throwing the thumbs up right away. I was like, wow, it's pretty, okay. But I didn't really think anything about it, you know, because, I mean, I'd done, like, skits before, and it's not like I was ever bad at them, so I was just kind of, oh, it's pretty cool, you know, stuff like that. And then we go on this battle royal, and the second that me and Rock start going at it, you could just feel the place light up. And they just realized that, and they just kind of say, okay, we're just a little something here, so let's just see what we can get out of it. So that's kind of how it happened. But it was only going to be initially that one-night confrontation in the not even the confrontation, because the battle royal was just something me and Rocky did when we locked horns in there. It was only initially going to be that little skit that we did backstage.
This person wants to know, who is the hardest opponent to do the vertebraker to? Was it Violent J? He's so heavy?
Heavier guys are hard. I mean, Kiwi was pretty heavy. If you remember that guy, Alan Funk, he was a solid guy. He was pretty heavy. And I remember Johnny Swinger was a little difficult because he's like, his shoulders were really broad and stuff like that. You know, that's why when I got to WWE, you know, and they didn't want me to do it anymore, it wasn't really that big deal for me to not do it anymore because there were only a handful of guys in WWE I could even do it to.
Because they're all big.
I mean, I have to, especially with when I got to be Hurricane. I mean, I did it to, you know, I did it to Justin Credible, Stevie Richards, you know, I did it to, you know, it was a very popular match with AJ Styles on like Jagged or Heat or one of those shows that I did it to him. You know, maybe, I don't know if I did the Crash Holly, but there's only a couple guys I could even do it to there. So it wasn't a big deal that they, you know, forced me to stop doing it. It was hard on the guy giving it too. You know, if you actually, you know, conscientious of your opponent and you're trying to take care of him, it can kind of be rough on you too. So I wasn't opposed to not doing it anymore.
Was there anybody that ever came up to you and just said, listen, I know you use this vertebraker, but I don't trust myself here to take it right. Can we do something else?
No, nobody ever said that. But when it started popping in WCW, and I know I did it, and it might have been the first night, or it might have been like the second night when it was my legit finisher, because I wanted my finisher to be the Nightmare on Helm Street, the Eye of the Hurricane maneuver. You know, that was something I created myself, and so I kind of wanted that to be my finisher. But I knew that vertebraker was special, and then they were like, you know, just do that one, mate, because that's what everybody likes. All right. Anyway, I came back to the locker room, and Steam comes up to me. He goes, man, I love that finisher of yours. And I go, yeah. He goes, yep, I'll never take it. And then he just walked away. But he said it like really, you know, joking around and stuff like that. But it was funny. But I kind of got the message. I was like, yeah, that's going to be one that – and that's why I wanted the Eye of the Hurricane to be my finisher, because I could, you know, I could do that to anybody safely. The vertebrae is very dangerous, you know, without a doubt. If you start to dip the wrong way, it could be a bad night for the guy.
Yeah. Now, speaking of WCW, you mentioned 3 Count earlier as well, and that was In WCW, they gave a lot of guys a lot of different wacky gimmicks. Some got over, some didn't. And three count is still something that people remember today. When you guys were first approached about this, I mean, A, what was your reaction? And B, once you started going along with it, who came up with the various ideas to, I guess, who came up with most of the ideas you ended up using for the three count?
I mean, it was Jimmy Hart's idea. Jimmy Hart wanted to do, you know, he's always into music gimmicks and stuff like that. His whole life is very musically inclined anyway. And me and Shannon had some trial match. And like the first one I had there, Jimmy Hart came up to me and just started talking to me about the three count idea, like right off the giddy up. You know, he was asking me, can I sing and dance? And I'm just saying, yeah. You know, and I like to tell everybody, he didn't ask me if I could sing good. All he asked me was, could I sing?
Yes.
Yes, I can. And he said, he looks at Shannon, and Shannon's kind of off in the distance doing something. He goes, well, what about your partner? I was like, yep, he's singing, dancing his little ass off. And it was kind of Jimmy Hart's idea. Jimmy wanted to do it, and, you know, they had did this gimmick where they hired a bunch of cruiserweights anyway. They hired, like, 12 of us. And then I think everybody else ended up getting fired except for me and Shannon. But we'd already shot the video, so they'd always spent some money on us and stuff like that. And, you know, Russo was in control at the time. When he saw the video, he popped for it, and that's kind of how it got put on TV. And as far as the tag team maneuvers, most of the tag team maneuvers were my ideas. You know, that's always kind of been my my little forte in the business. I can kind of come up with cool little maneuvers and stuff like that. So most of that was my idea, but as far as the clothes and stuff, me and Shannon would just go to, like, I think Gadzooks was the store at the time, and Hot Topic and shit like that, and just pick up stuff and just wear it, you know. We would just think, what would we wear, and people would think we were douchebags. That's the mentality. Yeah.
Hot Topic.
People would chant three count, like, almost, you know, I mean, they do it all the time, you know. If they do it, to this day, if the crowd starts chanting three count, I'll break out in a dance. I don't care if we're in the middle of the heat or not. You know, if the crowd chants for it, I got to dance.
Now, I can't remember the circumstances. I think I probably asked you about this anyway, but Tank Abbott obviously was involved. And I can't recall even the circumstances around putting him in there. I mean, was it an idea like, oh, man, you know, we're pissed off at Tank, we're going to put him in this group, and then all of a sudden it turned out he was enjoying himself? Or what were the circumstances behind him even getting into the group?
The idea was, and keep in mind, Tank still had the mystique, that still had this real badass aura back then.
Sure.
I mean, still a tough guy, probably even to this day, you know, tougher than the average Joe. But back then, he's like this real legit badass. And the idea was, like, just imagine you saw Brock Lesnar, you know, getting ready for a fight. And he's over there throwing punches in the air, and he's got his little headphones on, and you found out he was listening to, like, Debbie Gibson or something.
Sure.
That was the idea, that would be almost scarier, because you would expect, you know, you expect Iron Mike to be listening to heavy metal or some kind of heavy rap or something like that. But say Mike Tyson took his earphones off and he's listening to Justin Bieber, you'd be like, what the hell is that about?
That's right.
You know, it'd be almost scarier. So it was that idea, that you would have this guy that is this legit badass and could beat up most of the locker room. And however, he loved this boy band called Three Count. That was the idea. And we actually wrote a lot of funny skits, me and Jimmy did, and it was funny. It worked when Three Count was our, you know, he was our little groupie guy. Not groupie, but a roadie type guy.
Sure.
Yeah, let me clarify that. Roadie. when he was that, you know, that was funny. But when he kind of started bullying us around, it kind of lost the humor, because everybody beat us up at Three Count. So that wasn't nothing, no big deal. I think Tank liked to do the Tank Sinatra thing, getting out there singing, because he likes to be a funny guy, you know, if you've ever seen any of his interviews and stuff like that. I mean, he's a pretty funny cat, and he wanted to be entertaining. But unfortunately, when the match starts, you know, that's when it's over for Tank. You know, he can't do anything in the ring.
Yeah,
that's entertaining, and that was going to be the hindrance, and that's what, you know, we were dealing with from the get. You know, even from the beginning of the idea, we knew that. It was like, okay, well, how do we involve this guy yet somehow keep him out of the ring as much as humanly possible? So that was, you know. If they could have ran with it where, you know, we were using him to win a bunch of matches, it could have been a little bit better. But once, like I said, once he started, like, bullying us around, then it kind of lost its direction.
I'm looking at a poster here for the Heroes and Legends Wrestling Fan Fest. It's coming up on the 30th, Parkview Field in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And There's a lot of guys on this poster. You, obviously. Diamond Dallas Page is there front and center. Amazing Kong, Jake Roberts, Shane Douglas, the genius in his genius getup. Jake the Snake and his snake. Sonny is there. Tell us a little bit about this fan fest.
You know, it's just a show in Indiana, and the promoter's just going to bring a bunch of legends, and somehow I'm included in it. I'm considered a legend in some part of the world, evidently. In Indiana. In Indiana, I'm legendary. And we're going to do matches and stuff. It's going to be a show. You know, it's going to be a big fan fest where, you know, you can come out and meet us and talk to us. I think these little smaller fan fests are a lot better than the stuff, you know, than I used to do back in the day when it was so big that you can't really spend time with people. You know, these are a little bit smaller, so they're a little bit more, you know, more one-on-one contact with the fans and stuff like that. So that's why I've noticed that fans always seem to enjoy them a lot more, because I've met fans at the Miami Comic Con or a show I just did in Evansville, Indiana, a couple of weeks ago, and they're like, yeah, well, I met you before, but I got rushed through the line so fast I didn't get to talk to you, and now they really get a chance to kind of, like, you know, share a few words with me and stuff like that, and that makes it a lot better for them, a lot better for me, too, you know, because I hate just, hey, what's your name, write it on a piece of paper and get them out of there. I hate that assembly line type autograph signs, you know, they're kind of very impersonal, kind of, and it's kind of rude, too, but, like, you got to get through so many people sometimes, it's, you know, how else can you do that? These are really cool. I mean, this is going to be a lot of people at the show no matter what, but they're very interesting. You know, and I think the show will be good, the matches will be good, and you got a very diverse cast of characters there to choose from and to be entertained by. So it'll be a good show.
Now, you mentioned I actually was at WrestleCon this year, and I mean, the difference between WWE access from talking to people and WrestleCon is night and day. I mean, you know, the building they had the access in this year, the way it was set up, I mean, there were these long lines. And like you said, you're in the line forever. You get to the front. Hey, what's your name? I'll sign your thing. Nice to see you. Off you go on your way. But at WrestleCon, I mean, there were just guys everywhere. Fans were all over the place. You could talk to whoever you wanted. The lines were short. I mean, I got a lot of real good reviews from people that went to the WrestleCon last year. And, I mean, if you're in the Fort Wayne, Indiana area, and you want to see any of these guys, heroesandlegendswrestling.com, head over there. The poster is there, and you can head out there and meet some of these guys. One last question, since you mentioned Comic-Con. Over the last, seems to me at least, like over the last 2 years or so, all of a sudden, Comic-Con is bringing in a lot of wrestlers for the signings and that sort of thing. I guess, what happened? When did all of a sudden wrestling stars become a big deal at Comic-Con?
Well, I mean, there's kind of always been something a little bit. I was trying to get WWE to go to San Diego Comic-Con for years. You know, just years as I was, like, you know, just explaining, like, especially when they started having movies. I'm like, man, every movie studio is out there. And it's just one of those things how WWE, sometimes they need to hear it from a third party. You know, they sometimes they skip over that locker room. When there's some of the best ideas they're going to get are going to come from that locker room. I think sometimes they get immune to that, and they maybe take it for granted. And they got to hear it from some third-party asshole that, you know, just did a survey or some shit, you know. But Comic-Con just took on a life of its own, especially the San Diego one. It's so huge now, it's just ridiculous. And I think the Wizard World Cons actually have a deal with WWE. I think the Wizard Cons were kind of doing real bad on attendance. Well, not real bad, but their attendance was kind of falling. So they set up some kind of deal with WWE to bring guys in and stuff like that. And then, I mean, these Comic Cons aren't just about comics. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of TV personalities out there, movie stars and stuff like that, and anime and all these different, you know, there may be a comic, a little bit of the comic relation, but it's not just about comic books anymore. And I don't know, they're wild. They're a lot of fun. Everyone I've been to, I really enjoy it. And I think because of the San Diego one's turning into such a big studio convention, like it's almost not even a Comic-Con anymore. It's just a studio con, if we can patent that term. Someone says, that being said, with that, a lot of the smaller cons are really picking up their business because they're getting a lot of the legit comic creators and artists and stuff like that at their shows. The one that we did in Miami, the Supercon in Miami, was awesome. That was like one of the best ones I've had, and I've did the San Diego one a couple of times. But the Miami one I just did was fun as hell. I know there's one in Toronto that I'm being asked about being on. And it's very odd because my gimmick doesn't necessarily stand out as much because everybody's dressed like me. Not
necessarily
me per se, but I don't stand out as much as I would in a regular wrestling show. It's actually a pretty different vibe for me, and it works really well. The one we did in Miami, like, everybody on the wrestling show was a character. So they're all dressed like comic characters or movie characters. You know, this guy was dressed as the Cobra Commander, Craven the Hunter, like, just anything you could think of. You know, the girls were dressed as Power Girl and the Pink Power Ranger and this, that, and the other. Every match out there, everybody was in a character, and it was really fun, and the fans just ate it up.
Yeah, it looks like WWE and Wizard World do have some sort of deal, because I guess Miz was out there for the April, I think it was April, actually maybe February, the Portland Wizard World. So, yeah, there you go. I know you got a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, you've got your podcast and apps as well, ShaneHelms.com. Want to give you a chance to plug all the stuff. And again, ShaneHelms.com is a place to go to check out more on any of this.
Yeah, I try to keep everything real simple with that. You know, when I first made my Twitters, you know, I tried to brand everything to make it all ShaneHelms.com. So the website, ShaneHelms.com, the Twitter's at ShaneHelms.com, the Tumblr is ShaneHelms.com, Facebook is ShaneHelms.com. You know, I try to make it easy for everybody. So you know, that's what that is. I'm a Wrestling Fan app is waiting on approval by Apple to be upgraded. We've got a new version of that that's going to be really cool. And that's easier for fans to find all kinds of wrestling shows, not just the big ones, but, you know, all the independents that are in the area, have them find that. Of course, my own app, The Shane Event, is being updated, too. So we have a lot of fun with that. That's a, you know, I don't get beat up making apps, so it's pretty fun to do that.
That's a big benefit.
Yeah.
And
get a paycheck without getting beat up is a good day.
That's right. And the podcast, Pro Wrestling, MMA, and Boxing.
Yeah. We do a lot of everything. You know, I had a couple recently where we got into a lot of, you know, cultural issues, you know, the whole Darren Young thing, religion we'll get into. We talk about a lot of stuff, you know. Of course, wrestling and, you know, combat sports are going to be the main theme, because that's been my life for much of my life. But I ain't afraid to talk about anything, you know, and I'll be as honest as I can, you know, and give it to you like it is. And, you know, people either agree or disagree, and that's, you know, I don't do it just to make people agree with me. It's just, I do it and just to say what's on my mind. It's really cool. You know, I think it's different than some of the other podcasts out there. So, and it's a video pod, so that definitely makes it unique.
That's right. The website is ShaneHelms.com, and literally everything you want is up there. All of the smartphone apps, schedule, merchandise, the Highway to Helms podcast, contacts, if you want to contact Shane or if you want to book him for events. All of the booking information is up there as well, plus links to Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Tumblr, iTunes, MySpace, everybody, and Google Plus as well. For those of you still on MySpace, you can check that out. And all the information about various places, been WWE, WCW, a lot of fan stuff as well. So yeah, ShaneHelms.com is the place to go. And any bookings coming up you'd like to get out there besides Heroes and Legends?
Man, see, that would be something I should know. I don't have my book in front of me. Well, I'm in North Carolina this week. I do know that. I'm in Greensboro this Sunday. On Twitter, I put all that stuff up on Twitter and Facebook constantly. So if you ever want to know where I'm at, Twitter and all that is the place to go. I got some stuff in Puerto Rico coming up. Going back to Mexico, going to New Jersey coming up soon. We got some stuff down in Texas. I'm kind of all over the place, so having a lot of fun with it.
So there you go, everybody. ShaneHelms.com is the place to go. And do not forget Heroes and Legends, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on August 30th at Parkview Field. The Hurricane is going to be there, as well as DDP, the Headbanger, Satanka, Jake Roberts, Sonny, Chris Masters is going to be there. Amazing Kong, Mr. Hughes, The Genius, number of others as well. More information at heroesandlegendswrestling.com. So head up there and check that out. And Shane, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today. And as always, best of luck with everything. And hopefully we can get you back on the show soon, because had a lot of Twitter questions and a lot of people got a lot of good stuff to ask. So we'll do some more of that later on. But thank you again. And thanks everybody for listening. We'll talk to you again after a while.